Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Hey, listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSG family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always come to
gambling. What
do you
think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out. Wait. The RSG family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park. Welcome. We are back. No need to adjust those dials. We're back with another live show. Let's see, it's one of the slowest sports days on the calendar. I believe today and tomorrow are actually two of the few days where we don't have any sports. So where else would you be? We're listening to Inside the Park. I've got Hank with me. I've got Mike on deck. And, where else are we going to start? All-Star Weekend came and went. All-Star Game last night. So did you guys check out the All-Star Game?
Unfortunately, yeah.
I'm sure Mike appreciated the result. Mike, did you get a chance to check out the game?
Of course. It was a fun game. It's a fun game, and it's always surprising to me when people try to handicap or predict an All-Star game, you know, especially this one when everyone decided that, you know, it was a done deal, the American League, too much talent, how can the National League compete? I even saw there's a headline yesterday morning, how can the NL win this game? Well, give me a break. They kicked their butt, you know? Totally unpredictable.
Yeah, it was completely unpredictable. For those who didn't catch the National League, big underdogs coming into the game. They pulled out a squeaker. They won 8-0. American League didn't put up much of a fight at all. And I commend anybody who watched it to the end because there wasn't a lot of excitement, especially if you're rooting for the American League. All in all, it was. I enjoyed watching the game. There are a couple things I'll take away from it, but I want to get you guys' perspective. Hank, is there anything, any one thing that you remember about the game? Only I'm not talking about anything else that happened during All-Star Weekend, but is there anything in the game that happened that you think you'll remember years to come?
Oh, there's plenty of the game that happened that I'm going to remember for years to come. There's plenty that happened in that game that I'm going to remember at least for tonight, okay, because when I was told by my colleagues, I want the listeners out here to listen to me very carefully, because my colleagues told me that I need to be cut off. My colleagues told me that you really done lost your mind, in a sense. Probably not in those words, but in a sense. And so, while it pains me to say this, it also makes me feel good that the baseball gods are looking out for me. And Kung Fu Panda, yeah, I did say it. Kung Fu Panda hit a 3-run triple in the first inning, the same Kung Fu Panda that you guys said I need to push away from. So that is one thing I will definitely remember about this game, as well as Melky Cabrera, another player who I said, oh, you got Giants love, the MVP. So, yeah, I'm doing a little gloating here today. So happy 4th.
Mike, do you want to address this or should I?
Let it out. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today, and Hank, you're absolutely right. I thought, man, Blind Squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, doesn't he? Kung Fu Panda comes through for you. But no, that was that was fortuitous. You'll be writing on that one for the next 2 months.
I will say this. I'll give you this, okay? And this is going to sound like a homer call, but if Bautista could play just a little bit of right field, you know, you figure he might be able to flag down at least one of those two hits, either one by Braun or the other one by Kung Fu Panda. But, I mean, he didn't get to either one of them. And I can't understand why he was playing so shallow on those guys.
Yeah, Yeah, you know what? I watched those plays a couple times. I mean, they were tough plays, but the sun was in his eyes. I don't think he could have made either one of them, but it definitely hurt JV to say the least.
Yeah, well, he didn't help himself either. I guess somebody must have told him that you can only throw fastballs in the first inning, and the rest of your pitching arsenal is not needed. I don't know.
Yeah, it was not one of his better outings. I mean, if you didn't catch the game, Justin Verlander came out. You could tell he was pumped up on the juice. He was throwing 101. He was throwing the heater, but he left a lot of pitches high. He was overthrowing. He walked a lot of batters. You know, I just don't think he's built really for these All-Star games because he's a guy who pitches with so much adrenaline and emotion. You know, if you watch him during the season, he kind of works his way up to 101 because if you start off on 10, he's going to be overthrowing the ball. And that's exactly what he did last night. He knew he only had an inning or two to pitch. So he tried to give the fans a show, and it just didn't work out for him.
Not at all.
But, Mike, anything you took away from this game?
Well, I don't know if there's any specific moments. You know, we all root for our hometown guys, so I got a kick out of watching Aroldis Chapman pitch to the Angel Twins, you know, Trout and Trumbo walking one strike and out the other. So that's kind of fun for me to see him do that. But, I enjoy the game, and I don't think anything stuck out particularly for me.
Well, let me ask you, did Chapman pitch to one batter or two?
Two. He walked Trumbo on a full count, and then he walked Trout on a full count, and then struck out Trumbo.
Okay, this I was watching the game, and I immediately thought of you. You know, obviously Joey Votto played, as the fans voted him in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, working up into the game, you heard a lot about this La Russa versus the Reds beef. You know, Brandon Phillips. La Russa didn't put Brandon Phillips on the squad. He didn't put. Who's the other deserving Red that didn't get to go?
Cueto.
Yeah, Cueto. He didn't pick Cueto for the team. And, you know, he only put in Aroldis Chapman for two batters. He's been one of the better relievers all season. It immediately popped in my head, I wonder how Mike feels about this. Does La Russa really have a beef with the Reds? Is he just sticking it to Reds fans right now? Or did you think two batters was okay for Aroldis?
You know, I think it's fine. I think it's and that seemed to be the way, right? Once they got towards those later innings, it was the guy would start off, get the first two outs, and then someone else would close. They did that with who's the pitcher for the Braves, closer?
Kimbrel?
He came in. Yeah, he pitched the two, and then Chapman came in, and then Hanrahan, right? Am I saying that right? For Pittsburgh came in, and then they let Papelbon close it out. Now that didn't bother me. I think La Russa's a jag bag, but that's just me personally. Now the problem with if you're a Reds fan, you'd say, "Oh, he totally ripped us off." Is that he also named Jay Bruce to the team, who really didn't deserve to go this year. So it could just be personalities where he said, "You know what? I got to get someone else from the Reds, but I ain't taking this guy." So he brought Jay Bruce on, but. You know what? It's just one of those guys we talked about a couple weeks ago about teams that you just wish don't win. You really root against them. And, you know, I told you straight out Cardinals were my team. And if there was a guy on the Cardinals I didn't like, I said Chris Carpenter, but I said that because Tony La Russa is gone. So, love lost there.
Hey, did you see anything in that, Hank, or did you not even care?
You know what? I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that. I just thought that Tony La Russa looked like a wax doll that somebody had put hair on. I mean, I'm like, for real? He looked terrible to me. I'm like, man, he should have stayed retired. Let Mussini do it to somebody, you know, on that side. But for me, you know, it's just like when you're a kid. You know, when you watch the All-Star game, you look for your team, your players to do well. And unfortunately, as a Tigers fan, none of them did. You know, JV gets shelled in the first inning. You know, Prince goes 0-2, and Cabrera comes up and hits into a double play. So it's like, well, that was it for me, okay? So it couldn't have been worse from a local standpoint, but I still thought it was entertaining. I was stunned that the big boppers, all those home run hitters in the American League, and they could not squeak out a run. And that says a lot. I think it really shows when you get to the postseason and why the Rangers haven't won a World Series in the last 2 years.
Let it be known. Why is it they haven't won?
It's that pitching. It's just from what I've seen. Look at that. Look at what we saw. The pitchers that the National League's trotted out last night. They started with Kane, who threw a perfect game this year. You know, you finish out with Papelbon, who was in the American League last year, and then everybody in between. And I mean, they didn't even mount a rally. I mean, it wasn't even close. It was the worst butt whooping I've ever seen in an All-Star game. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, they had some good pitchers lined up, but for me, it kind of looked like the AL hitters just really didn't care that much. They were taking their cuts. I didn't see them working many counts. I mean, they were just there. It was almost like, you know, they were there, but they really didn't care who won or lost that game.
Well, you know, it's surprising to me that, again, we had this conversation several shows ago. I guess when you look at it, if this is going to be an opportunity for you to get to the postseason, get to the World Series and have home field, you know, obviously the National League is taking it pretty damn seriously because they've got it and they've won it. And so there has to be something to be said about that when you start talking about ball games in late October and November. And now you get up to this point, and it just seems like the last 2 years you could say that the American League supposed to have statistically the better team, and yet you had that last game at home. We haven't gotten it done.
Indeed. Well, I'm a segue out of this game because it wasn't a lot to talk about. But I know even if you didn't see the home run derby, I know you heard about it. And the most memorable moment, it seems, was with Robinson Cano this year. Robinson Cano was the captain of the home run derby for the American League team, which means that he got to pick, you know, he got to pick who he went to bat with. He had previously said that he intended to take somebody from the Kansas City Royals to appease the hometown crowd. All-star roster shakes down. Billy Butler is the Royals representative, and Robinson Cano doesn't pick him. So if you've been living under a rock and you didn't hear what happened, every time Robinson Cano came up to bat or showed his face in Kansas City, he was booed mercilessly. And during the home run derby is when it kind of all got started. Cano comes up, he gets booed. It looks like it's affecting him. He doesn't hit any home runs, and the Kansas City fans are cheering every time he swings the bat and the ball doesn't go over the fence. You know, a lot of fans, a lot of other baseball fans gave KC fans a lot of heat for that. They said they were too hard on Cano. They thought it was, kind of amateur of them. I want to throw it out to you guys and get some perspective on this, see what two baseball minds have to say. Mike, where did you stand on the Robinson Cano booing?
To me, it's like, I don't know, the guy's a Yankee, the guy's a World Series champion, the guy's a multimillionaire, let him get booed. I could care less, you know, and I imagine he could care less too. And why not cheer for your team? And if you feel your team got slighted, let him know it. Let him know it. So I don't have a problem with it at all.
What you got, Hank?
You know what? Booing professional athletes goes way back to the Stone Age, so that's not the big issue. For me, the big issue is I find out later that they was giving his family, who was also at the festivities, a hard way to go, which is, I think, a little bit overboard. I mean, now, so you didn't pick your guy. Okay, so boo him mercilessly. No problem. No problem. But leave his family out of it. I guess they had to get security up in the stands and stuff. The folks was really losing their mind. You know, it's an all-star game home run derby. Okay, you want a guy from your team to be there. The rest of the country probably don't know who he is. Okay, it's the eyeball test. All right, so I don't blame Cano,
But, you know, if you want to boo him, by all means, boo him all year. But leave his family out of it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, the day after it happened, MLB is now talking about changing the rules for the home run derby. Maybe they're going to automatically put a person on from the home squad. I mean, it just seems like we're wussifying this thing. I just made up a word there, wussifying this thing a little too much. I love seeing fans be fans, and, you know, there's nothing like rooting for your team. I thought it was actually humorous. I thought it was funny. I thought that it showed that the Kansas City fans actually follow the game. They were into the game. You know, the day before, I was watching the Sunday night game where Boston was playing the Yankees. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing, but, you know, the hometown fans were doing their chant, "Let's go Red Sox." And then right after they finished saying Red Sox, the Yankees fans in the audience got their chant of "Let's go Yankees." So it was kind of like a back and forth, "Let's go Red Sox, let's go Yankees." And I can't believe that they're even allowing the Yankees to say this in their home park. Why isn't some Red Sox fan chanting louder when they bring up the Yankees name or over-talking them? It just seemed like, you know, back in the 80s or 90s, something like that wouldn't have happened. And, you know, so seeing the Kansas City fans treat Cano in the way that they did, it kind of brought me back to that. Maybe there are some real fans still out here who actually care about the game and aren't going to let some other fans come into the stadium and punk them, so to speak.
And you know what? I agree with you there. I will say this, though, in defense of Robinson Cano, if you're the captain of the American League and you are told to put together a bunch of home run or big boppers, again, it's the eyeball test, all right? You know who he asked over the Kansas City player. He asked Albert Pujols to be on the home run derby team, then Pujols turned it down. That's how Trumbo got on there. And Trumbo, you know, served himself pretty good, especially his first couple at bats. And let's face it, I'd rather see a Pujols or a Trumbo over somebody. I mean, if Eric Hosmer, who's supposed to be the big horse, if you will, for Kansas City, is not there, then that's really the only name, okay, for the national audience, for the Kansas City Royals. So for me, you know, I don't blame him. He's like, you know, you want somebody out there, again, it's the eyeball test for the national audience, you know. So they boo away, but they're the only ones that probably know that guy.
Well, let me take it a step further. What purpose does it serve to have captains? Who cares that we have a captain? Why not just have the fans pick or have MLB, have somebody in the office pick? Why are we even setting Robinson Cano and Matt Kemp up like this? Does it serve a purpose to have a captain, Mike?
No, not at all. But it plays to the drama and it makes a storyline. So if you think about it, you know, the publicity they got for Cano getting booed because of his selection just made more people watch, made more people talk about it afterwards. So it served its purpose. You know, my thoughts on this would be that sometimes the best home run hitters in the league aren't all-star players. You know, Rob Deer, I don't know if he ever made an all-star team. Gorman Thomas, Dave Kingman, you know. Adam Dunn should be in the home run derby every year. Every year he should be there. I want big, fat guys who can hit the ball a long way. Just like the NBA does with the slam dunk contest and three-point contest, I'd like to see that for the home run derby. You know, let's make it softball baseball and see who can hit the ball. I want John Daly basically hitting their home runs, doing a shot after each one he hits over the left field wall. That would be fun to see. I don't care, all-star or not. I want to put a display on of power hitting, and that's it. So to me, I would do that. I'd get your five best home run hitters in the league, and they better pass the eyeball test, and I'd put a pitcher beer at first base, and I'd have fun with it.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd go over real well.
But think about it. Think about the guys who you know, don't hit for a lot of average or whatnot and aren't just going to make an all-star team. But, man, they belong in the home run derby. They really do. Mark Reynolds is a guy for the Diamondbacks who hits, you know, doesn't hit his weight, but every ball he hits or every other ball he hits is going out of the park. Adam Dunn was that same way. The guy for the Richie Sexton was another one. You know, it's gone or it's in the catcher's mitt, one of the two. So let's put on a display. Let's have fun with it like that.
Okay, we've got Sexton, Deer. You were looking at your old baseball cards today?
No, I'm just thinking about, well, okay, Greg Luzinski. There's another fat left fielder out there playing for Philly. He was fun to watch. But, you know, those are home run hitters, right? And the guys that are playing in it now are obviously great baseball players and good home run hitters as well. But, you know, it's a home run derby. Let's make it like the slam dunk contest. That's why the slam dunk contest right now, unfortunately, I think they lose a lot of the viewership for it in the NBA. Now I'm switching topics because people don't know who they are because the stars don't sign up for it anymore. But they get some great athletes out there who can do some good stuff. Maybe the MLB is afraid that they're going to lose some viewership if they don't have Ken Griffey Jr. hitting the ball or Albert Pujols hitting the ball. But man, let's have some fun on it. Let's have some targets up there like 500 feet, 450 feet, you know, 475. Hit it out of the stadium. You know, have them hit for certain fans who win a ticket. And if your guy hits it out of the park, you win a car. Something like that. And just let them go nuts. And people talk about, I don't want to be in the home run derby because it's going to screw up my swing. Well, you know what? Richie Sexton never worried about that, you know, because his swing was never getting better. So he might as well just try to hit for the I-75 out there. So I would do that. To be honest with you, I don't watch the home run derby. It's a little bit of a bore to me, and Chris Berman drives me nuts. Nuts, listening to that.
There's just one problem with your idea, Mike. I like the whole idea about, you know, having a win on bombs, but all the guys, it would take 2 days for the home run derby to be over because all the guys you mentioned struck out more than they hit home run. And that's the only thing about it. You're talking about being bored. Wake me up when they find out who the winner is.
That'd be fun, though, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be extra pressure? 50,000 70,000 people watching you try not to whiff on a softball underhand pitch.
The batting practice pitcher is pitching a no-hitter at the home run derby. That'd be a good one.
I think that'd be fantastic.
Oh, my God.
We found it.
Hey,
there it is.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what was your favorite part of the weekend?
Prince Fielder winning the home run derby.
Was it that bad? Did it come to that?
Look, let me tell you what I did. I watched his first at bat. He hit like 4 home runs. I turned it off. Okay? So I figured it was over. Well, he ain't going to win. Somebody else is going to win. The best part, oddly enough, was Chipper Jones. I thought Chipper Jones was really classy. You know, he looked like the old quintessential. He looked like the old ball player. You know, they had him talking. I know he was hokey, but they had him talking to the guys in the locker room and everything. But it was old-time baseball, you know, and he looked the part, and he played the part. And that kind of took me back to my childhood, you know, when you remember all the old ball players in their last All-Star game, you knew they were just there for the fans. So that was kind of nostalgic for me. So they kind of like built that up pretty nice. So I kind of like that.
Okay, Chipper Jones' last All-Star game. Mike, what was your favorite part of the whole All-Star experience?
I liked Sunday night. Not a lot of fans saw this, but the Futures game. It's on Sunday night. I know you were watching it, RJ, right?
Castellanos, baby.
That's right. And Billy Hamilton, fastest man in baseball, tripling on his second at-bat. Could have gone inside the park, but held up at third. I love watching those guys and seeing some of the stats of those guys coming up. I think I saw a guy midway through season, 27 home runs, 70-some RBIs. I mean, just loaded. So, to me, I get a kick out of watching that, seeing the guys who are going to be up next year at the end of the season.
Yeah, the Futures game was really good. Nick Castellanos is the Tigers' third base prospect. He won the MVP. He went 3-for-4, I believe. I enjoyed that Futures game, too. it was really good to see all the young players, the young talent, you know, the next Mike Trout and Bryce Harper who are going to make their debut soon. So I thoroughly enjoyed the Futures game. What I'm going to take away from the All-Star experience is actually the Kansas City fans. I watched the Futures game, and I've watched it in the past, and I never remember seeing a Futures game that crowded. I think they had like 40,000 show up for the Futures game. You know, I've heard that Kansas City, St. Louis fans, you know, are top-notch, but, you know, they packed it out. They showed up. You know, they were on top of Robinson Cano all weekend. Like I said, I appreciated that. When anytime Will Myers, the Royals prospect, would come up in the Futures game, he got a loud ovation. Billy Butler got a loud ovation. I was really impressed with the Kansas City fans, and it made me want to go to Kansas City and check out a ball game and squeeze that Negro League Museum in while I'm out there. So that's what I'm going to remember, and hopefully I'll be able to get to Kansas City pretty soon.
Definitely. And I tell you, those of you that don't know it, the Futures game isn't split up in the American League and National League. It's the American team and the national team, or the international squad. So one of the cool things they did it for the Royals fans is they had a Royals pitcher start for both teams. So the game was led off with pitchers on both sides, Kansas City Royals prospects. So to your point, when you have knowledgeable fans who understand not only the current roster but the players in the minors, it was a wonderful chance for them to come out and showcase the future of their team. So I thought they did a great job with it.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was you know, it was a blowout as well, but I enjoyed that one a little more than the regular All-Star game, just seeing players I've heard about. You know, we talked about this with the draft. I mean, they draft these players, and then you don't see or hear from them for 3 or 4 years. So, you know, it was good to see. This is my first time seeing Castellanos play. I've heard a lot about him. You know, they had Manny Machado, the Baltimore Orioles shortstop prospect. It was good to see all these guys play that, you know, toiling in the minor leagues. I know I don't get to see him play as much, so that was awesome for me. How about we're going to transition out of this year's All-Star game, but before we do, you guys have a favorite All-Star memory, Hank? I know you talked about Chipper Jones taking you back to your childhood. You got a favorite All-Star memory?
Actually, I got two. I remember Reggie Jackson hitting the ball into Old Tiger Stadium, hitting the ball off the transformer back in Old Tiger Stadium, and then once that's 1972 All-Star game. And then I remember Pete Rose just decking Ray Fosse and basically ending his baseball career. But it was Charlie Hustle. But the games meant as much as any other regular season game back then. And that's when I was really, really into baseball. Just when it seemed like you had stars on every team. But those are two All-Star games I remember the most.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pete Rose said it. I mean, back then, the ball players weren't multimillionaires. And the winner of that game got an extra check, some extra money in the check. Pete Rose was like, I was trying to eat. I was trying to eat that weekend. I had to take him out.
Right. Somebody's got to say it. Hank, how old are you, man? That's like, what, the 71? 69? It may have been the 68 or 69 All-Star game, right? No, it was in the 70s.
The Ray Jackson was a while ago, Hank.
That was 1972. 2 years old. Just admit it. I was... That's the first one I remember because they had this. You know why I remember it? I'll tell you why I remember it. Because Tiger Stadium had these stars cut back in the grass in the outfield. You know, when you're an impressionable 6-year-old, you're like, wow, look at that. So there you have it. Okay? And then Reggie Jackson came up there with that yellow jersey on, or green, whatever the A's colors were back then. Okay?
Wow.
Look at it, which was bright. Okay?
Wow.
So there you have it. He said what was memorable. That was memorable. What was I supposed to know? What his batting average was? Hell, I didn't even know how many players was on the team.
Well, no, wow. Mike and I have only heard those stories. You actually remember watching it, which is the amusing part.
Hey, yeah, look, look. There's certain things. Listen, let me tell you something. There's things in every sport for them kids out there that draws you to it, okay? Back in the day, when you had baseball, the All-Star game, everybody had on different uniforms, right? What stuck out? The Oakland A's. The Oakland A's stuck out with them gold jerseys, okay? And here Reggie Jackson come up with these white pants, this gold jersey, these yellow socks and green socks, and he hits a ball 40 miles out of Tiger Stadium. Now, yeah, I'm going to remember that.
Wow. What? My parents always told me that I should listen to my elders and be respectful, so I'm going to just say, yes, sir, I think you win.
Okay, well, uh-huh. Remember that Kung Fu Panda next time you talk about tell me to push it back and go watch Snooki.
Yes, sir.
How about you, Mike? You got an all-star memory?
Oh, I got two. I was thinking about this. I got two. So obviously I'm a lot younger than Hank here, but the one that I remember, you know, really as my own, you know, you follow like your dad follows, right, and you follow their team and whatnot. But then as you get a teenager, you start having your own things that you're rooting for. And 88 was the year that that Spud Sabo came up for the Reds. And Cincinnati actually hosted the All-Star game that year. And Chris Sabo, for those of you who remember him, wore those big goggles out on the field. And he was a Mike Trout type of player, not the talent, but he was all hustle, a million miles an hour, running into the walls, and looked like Spud McKenzie from the Budweiser commercials when he had his goggles on. And he went as a rookie. And that was a lot of fun for me. The other one I remember, and it brought up a debate in my head too. Is, you know, a lot of people are talking about Chipper Jones, and should there be an extra spot given to, you know, guys who have earned it on their career, and you want to give them one last chance. You know, we talked about that, and I believe it was the 84, may have been 85, All-Star game. Both Carl Yastrzemski and Johnny Bench were retiring that year, and they were both named honorary members of the All-Star team and got to play, and they gave them extra roster spots. And I don't know why that never gets mentioned anymore, but it happened. They were both named. Both of them were on the way downside of the career. Bench was playing third base, and his knees were shot, but they let him come because they were both first ballot Hall of Famers, and they should have been part of the game, and they were. And I don't know why that isn't a part of it anymore, but that's something I remember as a kid. Obviously, there's a Reds player there, and I don't know if anyone could tell you about Carl Yastrzemski, who's younger than me, but, you know, he was, I believe, the last guy to hit for the Triple Crown.
He
in,
was.
I want to say 72. Is that about right, RJ?
Let's ask Hank.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. The 70s is Hank's war.
Chris Sabo from the University of Michigan, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, well, let's go with that, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going a little earlier than you guys. I'm going 2005 All-Star Game to Comerica Park. I remember scrambling around trying to get tickets to get into the game. My wife came through, got me two tickets, and my dad and I went. And it was a cool game. The coolest part was actually this actual seats that we sat in. I think FedEx or somebody was doing a promotion and actually mailed us the seats that we actually sat in during the game. So I still have my All-Star seat in my basement. So that was my coolest All-Star moment, actually getting to go to that game at Comerica Park. So, with that being said, we've talked about this All-Star game for a good half hour. Let's go ahead and take this commercial break.
Now, we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Dog of the week time. Mike, who you got?
You know what? I'm going to keep it all-star related since we're there. And whether you think he deserved it or not, because he didn't, let's go with Bryce Harper as I believe the youngest position player to play in an all-star game. And, you know, whether it was there to sell tickets or whatnot, in a year or two, no one's going to remember that. It's a great achievement. And for that, definitely dog of the week.
Even when he missed that slap up?
No one's going to remember that either.
Hey, who you got for dog of the week?
You know, my dog of the week is going to be Big Poppy. Because, you know, we was off. He hit his 400th home run. David Ortiz hit his 400th home run. Got into the All-Star game again today, this past Tuesday. Man shows nothing but class. You can just feel the energy off of him. Congratulations for the 400 home runs, All-Star game. David Ortiz, my dog of the week.
All right. My dog of the week is off the board as usual. I'm going Dave Sampson. How many, Mike, you guys heard of Dave Sampson?
Yeah, I think he works over at FedEx down in the corner, doesn't he?
Oh, Dave, he shines shoes on the south side.
That's right.
But he might be if this is the way that he analyzes talent. But Dave Sampson is actually the Marlins team president. He made the news this week because, you know, typically in an All-Star game, every team gets represented. And Giancarlo Stanton was the Marlins representative this year. Well, Stanton went out, hurt his knee, had knee surgery, and they replaced him with, I think it was Bryce Harper actually, replaced Giancarlo Stanton. So Dave Sampson, the Marlins team president, wasn't too pleased that Stanton didn't get replaced with another Marlin. The reason I picked him for my dog of the week is because he managed to say with a straight face that he felt Greg Dobbs or Justin Ruggiano would have been a good replacement for the All-Star game. Not Jose Reyes, not Hanley Ramirez. He chose Greg Dobbs, who is his pitch hitter and has about 130 at-bats this year, or Justin Ruggiano, who has played in a grand total of 32 games, and he hasn't even played a full nine innings in all those games. So for David Sampson to be able to say with a straight face that Ruggiano or Dobbs should have been the Marlins representative, he's my dog of the week. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's go ahead. We wrapped up the first half. The All-Star game typically signifies the end of the first half of the baseball season. I just want to do a gauge, a temperature check here. I know at the beginning of the season we told everybody who was going to be MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. And, you know, we're going to hold you to those picks. But right now I just want to find out who's been the MVP or Cy Young Rookie of the Year award winner for the first half. So this is not saying that they're going to have the same type of second half. This is just after the first half of the season, who's on top, who you got, who's your guy. Let's start with National League MVP, and we'll throw it to the National League man, Mike. Who's your NL MVP? And I'm pretty sure we're going to have a good consensus on this one, but let's see who you got.
If this, well, let's qualify this, all right? So if the season ended today, who is my NL MVP? It's Andrew McCutchen. It's Andrew McCutchen. Just because the Pirates are in first place, you know, 30-some percent of their offense. He's playing amazing. We're talking a guy who I think had 5 home runs at the midpoint of May, and then it's just exploded from that point and really carried his team on his back. He's a superstar. He's really exciting to watch. Do I think he'll be there at the end of the year? No, because I don't think the Pirates will be there at the end of the year. But right now, if it ended today, I think Andrew McCutchen's your MVP.
Well, I think Hank is going to fight you on this one and throw Pablo Sandoval back out there. Well, let's throw it to him anyways. Hank, who you got?
Now, see, you had to go there, didn't you? You had to go there. I said he was good for third base for the All-Star game, but he's not even the best player on that team. But the MVP candidate for that team has got to be Melky Cabrera, if you're going to pick one. Melky Cabrera leading the National League right now. Well, he's second behind Andrew McCutchen in average. He leads the National League in hits with 109 right now. He's really rededicated himself to the game. The Giants are a half a game out of first place. But having said that, my choice would have been Andrew McCutchen. I think the fact that the Pirates are playing as well as they are, McCutchen is a budding superstar. I mean, that boy is bad. And he's carrying that team, on his back. And I don't necessarily agree with you, Mike, that they may not be there at the end. I mean, they've got a lot going on right now. But if you put a gun to my head right now, I had to go with Andrew McCutchen.
Yes, sir. Hank, I got to tell you, everything you said there made perfect sense, but all I heard was Coming to America. Joe Louis was 130 years old when he fought Rocky Marciano. That's it. That's all I'm hearing. I'm hearing the voice of reason, the voice of age, the voice of respect. Tell me he's seen it all. I love it. And you're right, that is velvet, and yes, it is beautiful.
I'm a good 40 years from an AARP card, young man, so don't get it twisted. I just got a long memory.
I echo everything you and Mike said. McCutchen, NL MVP first half. I don't believe Pittsburgh will be there, but the mere fact that he has been the one and the only bat in that lineup all year, outside of the off day when Pedro Alvarez shows up as well. I mean, he's doing this all by himself, and he's got this team in first place after the first half. I don't see how you can go anywhere else with it. McCutchen's the NL MVP. Cy Young, National League. Who you got, Hank?
You know what? I don't see how you can go past R.A. Dickey. That boy's had an amazing first half. I mean, he's like, 1, 2, 3 in the top three pitching categories in the National League right now. Wins, ERA, strikeouts. He's been amazing. And, you know, he's one of the reasons why the Mets are doing as surprisingly well as they are. So if you're asking me, it's got to be R.A. Dickey.
Mike, where are you going?
I'm going Matt Cain. I like R.A. Dickey. But you know what? And once again, the question is, if the season ended today, yes, R.A. Dickey's your Cy Young. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. So I guess I'm using the opposite reasoning and saying that I think Matt Cain's going to be there at the end of the year. So if I had to vote right now, season ends, I agree with Hank. First of all, he's wise, so it's a good reason to do that. But, you know, long term, I'd go with Matt Cain. I think he can hold it out. And really, if you think about it, if R.A. Dickey came down to earth and for the next 3 months had a 4.3 ERA, you'd go, okay, we expected that. Matt Cain, you expect him to stay exactly where he's at, if not get a little bit better.
You know, I struggled with it because, you know, I ultimately sided with R.A. Dickey as well. But I think a case could be made for Strasburg. I mean, the guy's strikeout numbers are through the roof. His ERA is right where it needs to be. He's got the Nationals in first place ahead of the New York Mets. You know, I actually thought about this one for a good little while. The mere fact that Dickey has been able to compile 12 wins to Strasburg's 9, I think, and the slightly better ERA for R.A. Dickey is what pushed me over the edge. But Strasburg, he had two bad outings going into the break. Had he not had those two, I think Strasburg probably would have been my pick.
Well, you know what? You say Strasburg, but, you know, they got another pitcher on that Nationals pitching staff that's having as good of a first half as Strasburg, and that's Gio Gonzalez. You know, his numbers are very comparable. You know, we're talking about a half Cy Young.
very comparable to Strasburg as well as Dickey's.
Indeed, and that's why I struggled with it, and that's why I don't think it's as open and shut a case for R.A. Dickey. That's all I'm saying.
No.
But we'll probably spend all of 3 seconds on this one. NL Rookie of the Year, Bryce Harper. I'd be interested if somebody had someone different, but Mike, who you got?
I'm not voting for Bryce Harper. I think if we were voting on the best teenager in baseball, it'd be Bryce Harper. But no. I like Wade Miley for this one for the Diamondbacks. And you know what? This may be a case where, you know, we're voting for somebody who doesn't have a great career over a superstar. But right now, in my opinion, Bryce Harper gets it because we all know his name. You know, he's putting up fine stats, but, you know, look at Mike Trout. That's what a rookie of the year puts up. Bryce Harper's putting up okay numbers. The fact that he's 19 should not give him an advantage over players who are also rookies. All right? So when you ask me who the rookie of the year is, I don't think it's a slam dunk that it's Bryce Harper. I think that's a disservice to the other players that are out there. I think other players have as good of numbers. And I'll throw this out there, but I got two guys with the Reds, and I'm not suggesting that they're rookies of the year, but who have comparable numbers in Todd Frazier and Zach Cosart in less at-bats. And we're not talking about them for rookie of the year because they're not rookie of the year worthy. And if Bryce Harper was named Bob Johnson, we wouldn't be talking about him for rookie of the year, and he certainly wouldn't have been on the All-Star team.
I disagree 100%. But Hank, where are you at with it?
Okay, we keep on skewing the criteria here. Now, we say that Andrew McCutchen is an MVP candidate because he's basically doing on his own and Pittsburgh is in first place. Well, you've got Bryce Harper right now who is Mr. Everything for the Washington Nationals, who are also in first place. He is a 19-year-old rookie. He has come up and done some amazing things. He is an all-star, okay? So while and so is Wade Miley. Okay, now the thing about it is, I said, who's going to put up the better numbers? Mike makes a valid point. Wade Miley is doing an incredible job, you know, with the Diamondbacks. But right now, if you're saying the Rookie of the Year right now, not the rest of the season, but right now, you have to go with Bryce Harper.
Indeed, and to your point, Hank, I mean, Bryce Harper came in. He's doing it with Jason Worth on the DL. He did it with Mike Morris on the DL. I mean, this guy's holding it down for the Nationals.
But look at his numbers. They're middling, right? They're middling numbers. They're not awesome numbers. I'm sorry, I don't have them in front of me, but he's hitting .270, .280. He's got 9 home runs. He's got 20-some RBIs. He may have 10 or 11 stolen bases. I mean, and here's the thing. He's an energy guy. People love energy guys. And you're right. He's going to have the best career out there. But if you put him up against other candidates, there's no reason that this should be a slam dunk. We are giving him a career award before his career starts. And to me, that's a product of hype. That's all that is. I'm not saying he doesn't belong in the conversation. I'm not saying he's not a valid choice. What I'm saying is by just giving it to him, then that's not fair. Because obviously
we're giving it to him because he deserves it.
His numbers just aren't that impressive.
He's hitting .282. This year, offense is down tremendously. .282 is probably one of the highest batting averages on his team. And let alone, we all know batting average is not the end-all, be-all. He has over .350 on base percentage.
Okay.
He's slugging .472.
So compare that to Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is not only having a Rookie of the Year type of year, he's having an MVP type of year. His numbers are sick. I mean,
if Mike Trout was in the National League, we'd be saying Mike Trout.
Mike Trout, okay, but what about you? What about Will Middlebrooks? I think all of these guys are guys that, you know, I can name 3 or 4. The guy from Oakland, Cepedes. He's another one. I guess what I'm saying is I don't have a problem with Bryce Harper being named NL Rookie of the Year. What I have is a problem with people assuming that he's so much head and shoulders above everybody else, when in fact it is an even horse race at best. At best, it is an even horse race right now. And the only reason he gets that benefit of the doubt is because ESPN has hyped him up for the last 2 years.
And it kind of helps that the Nats are in first place, too.
Absolutely. And that counts. That is valid. But he's a hype machine. You know he's a hype machine. He leads off SportsCenter.
I don't think he would lead off SportsCenter if he wasn't doing, if he didn't have some numbers that was comparable to doing something.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he's,
you know,
right? Like we can all, he's having a good rookie year. And I, once again, I'm sorry I don't have these numbers in front of me, but compare him to rookies of the years in the last couple years, and I don't think you're going to go, wow, wow, yeah, that guy's rookie of the year. Oh, yeah, hands down. You just, no.
It's not hands down, Mike, but tell me outside of Wade Miley, which I can promise you that half America didn't know nothing about until the All-Star game, even though he's having decent numbers, what other rookie out there on a first-place team, I guess, mind you, can you think of in the National League outside of your Reds, which is your local team, that's standing out to be another Rookie of the Year candidate?
Yeah, National League is tough. So you've got Andrelton Simmons from the Braves, new and high, so you got Aoki, Rosario.
Oh,
guy that I like
Simmons
with,
has played 20 games.
Huh?
Simmons has played 20 games.
Exactly, a short period. I'm just saying these guys are names you throw out. But, you know, you've got Alonso in San Diego's having an okay year as well. The guy I like is Grandal, who's come up in the last 2 weeks and got his first significant action for the Padres, taking over the catcher spot and doing a real nice job. You know, once again, can we agree on this, that it's a weak class in the National League? How about that? Can we agree on that?
It's a two-horse race right now.
And I think we can all agree, too, that if someone comes up and has a big second half, none of us would be surprised if Bryce Harper didn't win this award at the end of the year.
Well, some of you didn't even think he was going to be in the league, so I ain't saying nothing.
It's coming from a guy who said the Nationals wouldn't be about anything, but we'll keep it moving.
Okay,
let's stop talking
on.
About the Nationals. I'm done talking about the Nationals.
All right, let's circle back. AL Rookie of the Year. Who you got? Enlighten us, oh wise one, Mike. Who do you have for AL Rookie of the Year?
He's trying to be funny now. That's why he's quiet.
No, I'm saying to Mike, I don't want to assume. Mike, enlighten us. Who do you have?
Repeat the question for me. I had a request for a sandwich bite from my son.
AL Rookie of the Year.
Oh, it's, you know what, as weak as the National League is, the American League's got two diamonds out there, two and a half, in Trout, Darvish, and Middlebrook. So Middlebrook's hurt now, but Mike Trout, there's no doubt, right? He's your Rookie of the Year.
Well, yeah, I figured it was a slam dunk, but I didn't want to assume with you. You may pull somebody out of your ass. So we got to check with you first. Hey, who you got?
It's got to be it's got a bad visual there. It's got to be Mike Trout. I mean, he is having a phenomenal rookie year. In fact, like I said, he's having MVP type of numbers. So he's getting it done. Yu Darvish, though, ain't no slouch. He's having a hell of a season, too. And Cespedes, if he was in the National League, would actually be what everybody would be talking about. So there's three or four. Middlebrook is having a nice year. So there's a few of them, but I got to go with Mike Trout.
That's three for three. I'm with Mike Trout as well. AL Cy Young, where you at, Hank?
This one is tough. Right now, just based upon ERA, I'm going with Jared Weaver. He's got a 1.99 ERA. The Angels have moved back into contention. He's pitched a no-hitter this year. It's going to be hard to go against him. I know Chris Sale is having a nice season, but I don't think it's as good as Jared Weaver has had so far in the first half.
Mike, who you got?
Wow. Am I going to be the lone Verlander vote? But I'll go ahead and make it. This guy is the definition of an ace. He leads the league in innings, strikeouts, complete games. I think he's third in whip and fourth in ERA. And the stat I like about him, and I'm sure this is old news to you guys, 59 straight starts in which he's pitched at least six innings, not counting the All-Star game, which is the longest in 30 years. That is impressive, and he's an impressive pitcher.
And he's dating Kate Upton.
That's right.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I went the opposite direction. I went with Chris Sale. You know, I looked at Weaver, and the thing that troubled me with Weaver is he was on the DL, he missed a couple starts, and he pitches in a pitcher's park. Chris Sale is putting up the numbers he's doing in Chicago, which is pretty much a bandbox. So for him to have the success that he's having in that ballpark, kind of pushed it over the edge for me. He's just been phenomenal. So Chris Sale was my choice.
Very nice.
Cool. All
right.
Yeah. This one should be interesting. I struggled with this one for a minute as well. The AL's got a lot of bright spots going on, but AL MVP. I'm curious to see who you guys got. Where you at with AL MVP, Mike?
Right now, I tell you what, it's a three-horse race in my opinion. You got Robinson Cano with the Yankees, Josh Hamilton with the Rangers, and Mike Trout with the Angels. Right now I'm going to go with Josh Hamilton. I think he's the best player in baseball right now, and his team is leading the division. If for some reason the Angels overtake them and Trout continues to be the stud that he is, I would go with him. I think, Cano is at this point the best player on the best team, but he also has the most supporting cast around him. And I think if you compared him straight up with Josh Hamilton and Mike Trout, you'd probably pick him third, in my opinion. So I'll go Hamilton, Trout, and Cano.
Cano, don't you know? I went Mike Trout. I had the same dilemma that you voiced, Mike. The thing that did it for me, Josh Hamilton had a phenomenal first 3 months, two, 3 months of the season. He's kind of tapered off this past month. His numbers are down. He's not hitting with the power that he was before. And then I looked at Mike Trout's numbers, and he's done it every month that he's been in the league. He's consistently been batting at about a 350 clip, 340, 350, every month. And mind you, you know, he started off the season in the minor leagues. They thought that Vernon Wells was a better outfielder than Mike Trout. But since they called him up, the Angels are 40-24. That's a 6.25 win percentage, one of the best percentages in baseball over that time. And for that reason alone, I mean, we were ready to bury the Angels prior to. We had said that, you know, the Angels might not even make it to the playoffs, and now they're right in the hunt. So I went Mike Trout. Hank, who you got?
Well, you know what? I'm going off the board because everybody, we just in too much of a consensus tonight. It's making me crazy. I'm going with Miguel Cabrera. And I'm going with Cabrera because of all of those offensive categories, he's in the top five in all of them, batting average, home runs, and RBIs. And now since we're talking and we've had the conversation and we've really gone beyond the first half and said that what's going to be the most consistent, we've already said that Josh Hamilton has tapered off. Mike Trout is a rookie. And we know that Cabrera is probably one of the most consistent players out there. So when I look at that, I'm looking at Cabrera for MVP.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot we could probably banter about with Cabrera, your Cabrera choice, but you're saved. We're right up against it. We got about 25 seconds left, so I want to tell everybody, we thank you for listening. If you're downloading, You can keep listening. We may be on a little while longer, but we do want to encourage you to come back next week, same time, 9:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Central, Inside the Park. We'll be right back at it. Now, let's go into the extra innings portion. Hank, explain a little more about how you're going to choose Miguel Cabrera, please.
I choose Miguel Cabrera simply because I look at, again,
well, those are the dogs coming out, aren't they?
I'm letting the dogs out on Hank.
Yeah, really. No, because I'm looking at the consistency. I'm looking at where he's at in the numbers. I'm looking at, well, Hamilton is there with the home runs, RBIs, average, so is Cabrera. I look at what if we're talking about going forward, just like Mike has done with these other players. I look at it with him as well. I look at him getting more consistent than Mike Trout, who's a rookie. Rookies have a tendency to hit the wall. And Josh Hamilton's history. So that's why I'm going with Miguel Cabrera.
Well, I'm just going to chalk that up to being a homer pick, and I'm not going to fight you on that. Mike, do you want to fight him on that one?
No, I respect his opinion. You know what? Hank's been around for a long time. He's seen a lot of things, and if Miguel picked, then I'm going to go with it. In fact, I'd like to change my pick to Miguel Cabrera.
For the baseball guys, you on that one too. So we got a whole second half left.
That's right.
You guys got a little time to do comeback player of the year.
Mm-hmm. I do. You know what? I want to mention something quick. I had an MVP moment yesterday, and as a parent, you know, we all hope to see this, and there's kind of moments in your life that are cool, right? And so my son is playing on a little league team, and last night he jacked over the left field fence, his first home run. I'm looking at the ball here, three-run home run to put us up 4-3, 220 feet down the left field line, and he took a nice slow home run trot around the bases and got home. His whole team was there, and his mom and me were there, and just one of those times, you know, you'll just remember forever. And I wanted to share that with you guys. Just one of the cool things about baseball, because you kind of mark times in your life with it, you know. Whether you hit a home run, when you hit your first one, did you throw a no-hitter, you know. Did you make an awesome play? Did you score a touchdown? Whatever. And we had one of those last night, and we were lucky enough there to be there for it.
That's neat. That's really neat.
What kind of pitch was it?
Well, he was up against a lefty who was he was mixing in some off-speed stuff with his fastball. They don't really throw a lot of curves. He's in an 11- and 12-year-old league. But he came in with a changeup on a two-strike pitch, and he just jacked it. Just a line drive. It never got fat, you know, more than maybe 20 feet in the air the whole way, and just line drive over the left field fence.
Nice. You got to teach him the Aroldis Chapman somersault.
We're working on running to second base at this point.
There you go. All right, let's AL comeback player of the year. Who you got, Mike?
No! Don't you do that to me, Hank. Who is it?
You know who it is. And look here, you call it a homer pick if you want to, and RJ, you know this. It's got to be Austin Jackson. Okay, Austin Jackson last year. If he was nothing else but a thorn in my side, I mean, striking out from the leadoff position, he's second in the majors, right, in the American League in batting average. Austin Jackson. We're talking about Austin Jackson, okay? So I just figured the man, he's turned his batting, he's turned it around. He's always been an incredible defensive player, but now his stick is coming around in his third year. So that's got to be the hands down in the American League.
You know, I'm not going to fight you on that, Hank. I actually wrote an article this past week about Austin Jackson being the most valuable player of the Tigers this season.
Mm-hmm.
I made the argument that he's been the best Tiger for thus far in 2012. So I definitely won't fight you on that one, but I went Adam Dunn. Just
you were
going to
say Adam Dunn, damn it. I knew you were going to say Adam Dunn.
Of course I am, because I told you guys it was going to happen before the season started. But from where he was to where he is now, you know, I couldn't look past it. Austin Jackson, again, is having a fabulous year. I think he's been the best player on the Tiger squad, but Adam Dunn was the worst player in baseball last year, and this year he was an all-star. So
That's why we was done. How about you, Mike?
I like your pick. I like your pick. That is a good one. And the thing about the big donkey is he's coming back into form, you know. A walk, a strikeout, and a home run, and then you've hit the donkey trifecta. So I'm happy for him. And, you know, I was the one who said I thought he lost his bat speed and he was done. Turns out he found it. He found it down on Rush Street. So good for him.
All right, how about National League comeback player?
There's actually a number of great candidates here. You look at guys who were down the last year, whether it was Buster Posey, Santana coming back pitching the perfect game, David Wright, just putting up awesome numbers. I'm just listing a ton so you guys can't pick on anything. But for me, I went with Strasburg, who coming back from Tommy John surgery. It's fantastic that he's out there, and he's putting up Cy Young-type numbers. That's absolutely fantastic, and that's a guy that I think we expect that from. And to me, that adds to it, right? If David Wright had crawled into a shell and never made another peep, we've been all right with that. But Steven Strasburg's had the light shine on him for a long time, and he's come through. So I'm going with Strasburg.
Where you at, Hank?
I'm going with Buster Posey. First of all, that debilitating injury he had last year, he's come back this year. He's an all-star. But moreover, Buster Posey.
He's a giant.
Huh?
Moreover, he's a San Francisco Giant. Is that what you're about to say?
Yeah, he's a San Francisco Giant. I got Giants love, too. But listen to what I'm about to say since I'm so wise and I'm a sage now. Just pay attention. Look at the pitching staff that he has, okay? You have Kane. You have Baumgartner. You have what's his name with the hair. So you got an incredible pitching staff. The Giants. I can't remember the man's name right now. Mo, right?
I like that. Hey, you know that dude with the shirt? He was my pick.
Tim Lincecum. How's that? Okay.
Hey, Mike, you know the memory is the first thing to go.
RJ, and I've forgotten you already. So but they have an incredible pitching staff, and he's handling that pitching staff. And you have to look at the Giants anyway, with that pitching staff, with him handling that staff, as for him to be the comeback player of the year, and for them to really do something for the rest of the season.
And I went Johan Santana simply because I thought Strasburg pitched last year. I may have been I'm probably mistaken, but I thought he did, so that's why I picked Santana. So there it is. I do want to ask you guys real quick, Mike, is there any team in the National League that you see making a run? Well, I'm sure there is. Who do you have making a run in the NL? Towards in the second half of the season, we're going to look ahead a little bit.
Making a run, you know what? I see the Giants making a run. To be honest with you, I think that Kemp's time out of the lineup, plus Ethier's injury, is just going to allow them to springboard. Really, it's allowed the entire NL West to come up to him. But I don't see the Dodgers playing up to the level that they were earlier this year. So I think they're going to have a run. I think this is the Giants' division by 5 to 8 games at the end of the year, simply because I don't think the competition in the division is going to hold them up to it. Where do I think that the best race is going to be? I think that's in the Central. And I don't think you'd be surprised if it was the Cardinals or the Reds. And to be honest with you, even if it was the Pirates, I think that's a great story. But the Giants are my second-half run.
All right. Hank, who you got making a run in the National League?
Making a run? Quite frankly, I think it's going to be the Pirates. I think the Pirates have a little bit more than people are giving them credit for. They're playing really good baseball right now. They've got a nice closer, Andrew McCutchen. Clint Hurdle got them playing some very solid baseball. They got to this point last year, and then they faded away.
I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think that the fact that they started putting it together at the time that they did, I look for them to really make a push in September this year.
And you know what? The interesting bridge for me is if you think they're making a run now, what do they do if they get Justin Upton? You know, at that point, are they even with the other teams in that division talent-wise?
Right, right.
They're not getting Upton. He's coming to the Tigers. You didn't get the memo?
Oh, I didn't know that the Diamondbacks were taking old overpaid players in exchange. So that's...
Well, no, I concocted this just yesterday. I read the article. They're looking for third baseman and pitching help.
Oh.
Exactly. Castellanos, baby. Ship him out. Give me Upton.
Yeah, man, how do you trade a player like that under a doable contract for the next 4 years? 24 years old, he's gotten better every year. How do you consider trading that player?
Yeah, I don't think Kevin Towers likes him. I mean, this is the second year he's talked about trading the guy. I mean, last year he was top four candidate in the MVP. I don't get it, but I'd love to have him.
Yeah.
And I'd give up that prospect for him. I'd give up him and Turner for Justin Upton.
Justin Upton, yes, sir.
But my criteria for making a run was somebody who wasn't in first place. And, you know, I'm not saying that they will end up in first place, but they have a reasonable shot to get into the playoffs. And for that reason, I went with the Cardinals, who are always there. I'm sure they'll be in the thick of things come the stretch, and also Arizona. I'm not saying they'll win the West, but I do think they'll finish at least second place. I think they're going to overtake the Dodgers, and I look forward to be the Giants and the Arizona Diamondbacks battling it out in the West. So those are my two. And in the American League, I'd be stretching it if I called it a run, but again, I think they'll be in playoff contention. And for that reason, I went with the Tigers and Boston. I don't think, you know, either both of those teams may not win their division, but I do think they'll be in the conversation come the end of the season. Boston merely because they're getting back Ellsbury, Crawford, Pedroia. You know, they got a lot of injuries. I mean, but yet and still, they're still scoring a lot of runs. Their run differential is huge. It would, you know. They look and appear to be a team who should have a much better record than they do. And once they get these pieces back, I think they'll be in the thick of things. So those are my two squads in the AL. Hank, who you got?
I got Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay, as they did last year, is going to play very strong down the stretch. I think their pitching staff is going to carry them. Longoria will be back. So I look at them as making a push in the American League. And I'm really going the opposite way with the Detroit Tigers. I think they're going to fade. And I know that's kind of sound real harsh coming from me, but the fact of the matter is that you look at the American League East, you've got to almost assume a complete collapse from the Baltimore Orioles. I believe Boston's going to make a push. I believe the Tampa's going to make a push. I don't think the White Sox are going anywhere. I don't think the Angels are going anywhere. And Texas is pretty much a lock. So that kind of leaves the Tigers on the outside looking in. And then, you know, quite frankly, if they don't start off this second half, they're only two games over 500. If they don't start off this second half strong, which historically they haven't, then you can put a fork in them. So that's the way I look at that.
So who's making the run?
Yeah.
Okay. Who you got, Mike?
You know what? My argument was much more compelling a week ago, but I've been watching out of the corner of my eye the Kansas City Royals, and they just dropped 3 to Detroit right before the All-Star game, which makes it sound silly now. But to me, this is a young team. I don't think they're quite there yet, but to me, they remind me a little bit of, of the Pirates. And that they got a lot of youth, they got a lot of energy. I'd like to see them make a run. I'd like to see them be relevant. It looks like they're fading now, but I'm going to stick with it. I think the Kansas City Royals are going to make a run in the second half because I don't think their division's that tough, and sometimes spunk goes a long way.
Spunk, huh? Is Funk the new pitcher coming out of the bullpen?
It could be, and like I said, I don't think they're there yet. But you talk about a team that at some point didn't they lose like we're talking about like 10 or 13 games in a row or something crazy like that? And you know, before this last week, they had really rebounded very, very well from that, and we're actually tied with the Tigers for third, around five games out. But you know, they faded quite a bit. I don't think it's the best pick, but you know, it's more interesting than saying Tampa Bay. You know, like Hank already did.
Gee, thanks. And for the listeners, we went a little extra today because we left you guys hanging last week for the holidays. We got one more topic for you. We're going to do this rapid-fire style. Just give me two teams. No need to explain. Just let the listeners know, guys. Two teams falling out of the race, one in the National, one in the American League. Who's falling out, Mike?
Falling out. I am going with the New York Mets are falling out in the National League. In the American League, Baltimore Orioles are going away.
Indeed. Now, I'll piggyback right with you because I agree. I got Baltimore falling out. They can't sustain it. And then in the National League, I got Pittsburgh and the Dodgers. As you all know, Hank and I have a bet going on, and I'm thirsty. I'm ready to cash that bet. Pittsburgh and L.A. falling out. Who you got,
Hank? Don't bet for security money, man. Come on. You need it.
Hey, I think falling completely out will be Milwaukee. I think they're gone. And in the American League, unfortunately, I have to say Baltimore, too. I like them, but they're going to go.
Run that back. You cannot pick. Baltimore's already out. Give us another one.
The Detroit Tigers.
National League.
Huh? I said Milwaukee.
And I said they're not in it to begin with. Who else you got?
Well, somebody who's in. Okay, Arizona then. Because I'm not picking against the Dodgers. So it's got to be Arizona.
Arizona's not in it either, but, I mean, who's going to argue? We're not going to argue with you, sir.
Oh, for God's sakes. If they're all in it, we got 80-something games left.
Well, there it is. Hank doesn't believe that the Brewers will come from eight back, nor will the Diamondbacks. And on that note, we're going to sign this one off. Again, check us out next week, same time, 9:30. Y'all have a good one. Peace.